morning, gentlemen. Shabbat shalom. Beautiful thing that I'd like to quote this morning. A thing, because usually we quote a Marmar Chazal, but the Marmar, today I want to quote a Zmira. A Zmira. One of those Zmiras you think Friday night you don't understand. So let's try to understand it. In every venture that you ever probably picked up in your life, unless it's a Sephardic venture, you'll find that the first Zmira Friday night starts with the words, Kol Mekadei Shvi'i Kara Uilo. Anyone that sanctifies the seventh day as is fit for him. What does that mean, as it's fit for him? Then it ends, that passage ends, Ish al machaneu v'ish al diglo. Each person in his camp, each person based on flag. So you recall, in the desert, everyone lived together, the Mishkan was in the middle, different camps around, each one had a flag. We went through this once, I won't leave you in suspicion. Ultimately, there is diversity with regard to Shabbos. Everybody is obligated not to violate the 39 commandments of Shabbos. There's many more melachos de Rabbanan, there's xeros de Rabbanan. But there are certain things that are left up to your diversity, and one of them is, of course, your dress code. The dress code in a kibbutz on Shabbos will be vastly different than the dress code in Antwerp on Shabbos, which would be different from the dress code in Australia when they have summer, which will be different from the dress of communities even within the same country. So we take Israel. The way we dress here in Efrat could be different than the way they dress in Me'ah Sharim, and the way they dress perhaps in Kiryat Sefer will be different from the way they dress in Tel Aviv. But there's one common denominator. We're all dressing in honor of Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch says you should have nice clothing for Shabbos. Yontif should be even nicer than Shabbos. But how you dress is left up to your own subjective diversity within your community. And we once said, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. Judaism is not boring. People are different. And that's what I think that Zmira means. Kol mekadei shvi'i kara'ui lo. You have an obligation to wear nice clothing for Shabbos. What that is left up to your locale, to your local subjective custom.
I always thought low meant Shabbos, not the person. Shabbos, that low refers to Shabbos.
It could be. Could be. I like the other interpretation. It could be. Your interpretation sounds logical as well. Now, from this perspective, I never will accept anyone that says there is an objective dress code for Shabbos. I don't think there is such a thing. It doesn't exist, not in Shulchan Aruch, not in Gemara. The Gemara itself talks for Shabbos. Nice clothes, you should wear different clothing for Shabbos, and if you only have one suit, then what you should do, you should take out the pockets. Look different for Shabbos. Look different for Shabbos. That's the bottom line. And we once said, and I'll repeat, that one of the beauties of our community is there is a diversity built in within it. Not everyone is dressed in the same mold, and not everyone thinks in the same mold. We don't put people in a straitjacket, and I think that in and of itself is a beautiful thing. And now I'm going to come to the negative point. Shabbos is how long?
25 hours.
Does anyone here around this table believe that the dress code, Shabbos Mincha, at 6 o'clock in the evening, when the end of Shabbos and your computer and your TV is already saying hello to you, kacha 2 hours away, is different from Friday night? Does anyone here believe that it should be different? I'll tell you a story. Last night I went to Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv, as you know, is at the end of Shabbos. And in Israel, it's a custom that no one davens Ma'ariv in shul. I don't know why. There's barely any people that daven in shul. There's always minyanim on the street, in the parking lots, and every other place. It's so common that I once had to devote a whole shir to the following sugya. Are you allowed to daven in the open sky? The Gemara in Brachos at the end of the fifth parak, I believe, says you're not allowed it. So I had to devote a whole shir to it because it's so common, and everybody does it. And I couldn't believe everybody does it, and it's a violation of Jewish law. And indeed probably not it's not a violation of Jewish law. I come to one of these migrants, and someone said to me, and I quote, wow, why are you dressed so nicely? Shabbos is almost over. And this gentleman was wearing shorts. Now, I was very happy he came to Ma'ariv with the shorts and the t-shirt. At least he should daven Ma'ariv with a minyan. He said, Kriyat Shema, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa. He said, Sfira, Machlokis, d'oraisa, d'rabanan, b'zman hazeh. He also, of course, said Kiddush Levana, which was last night. Beautiful. But what was the assumption? What was the assumption? The assumption is a very simple one, and this, I believe, has to be changed. This is totally and utterly anti-halachic thinking. This is what we like to call in the yeshivish world, balabatish thinking. There's a difference between balabatish thinking and halachic thinking. Balabatish thinking means common sense. Halachic thinking means what Jewish law commands you. And not always does common sense jive with Jewish law. I'll give you an example. How does one become pure? You go to a mikveh. What's a mikveh? It's a body of water, of natural water from the sky, that you somehow got into a building. And you connect your tap water to it by virtue of various different ways that we have. One way is called Zaria, one way is called Hashaka. It's common sense would say, why do I have to go to a mikveh? I have a bath in my own house. Well, you want to get clean? I can get clean in my shower. That's common sense. Halakhically, there's a difference between getting clean, hygienically, and being purified. Give you another example, very common example. Shabbos morning, you get up, you want to set the table. There's a raw potato on the table and a pen. These are called muktzeh. What are you allowed to move? What you aren't allowed to move. My word of honor, most Jews would say you take the potato off the table and you somehow finagle the pen off because the pen is a big muktzeh and a potato, a raw potato, is a little muktzeh. It's nothing.
If you stick the pen in the potato,
it's full. Nice idea. A potato is muktzeh machamat gufo. You can do nothing with it on Shabbos. It's like a stone. It's the highest muktzeh. A pen is the lowest muktzeh. Now, common sense would say the opposite, because when we were kids, we were taught that you're not allowed to touch a TV on Shabbos, which, by the way, is absolutely untrue. You can touch the muktzeh as much as you want. You're not allowed to carry the muktzeh. You can touch it as much as I want. Close the parentheses. It has to do with electricity and writing, and anything modern is ultimately a big muktzeh. And all the rest is not. So people go to the park on Shabbos and they play with stones all the time, which is a big muktzeh. But ultimately, when it comes to a pen, they think it's the highest muktzeh. Sometimes halakhic thinking does not jive with common sense. There's a logic to halakhic thinking, but it's not necessarily common sense. Now, if that's the case, I'd like to say very explicitly, and I'd like to say this very clearly, the halakha that says you're supposed to dress nicely for Shabbos starts on Erev Shabbos and ends on Motzei Shabbos. Whatever your dress code may be, it could be a nice pair of shorts with a white t-shirt that's not ripped, then that's your dress code from Erev Shabbos to the end of Shabbos. The only difference would be that during the day, your dress code may have to go up. Because the Gemara does say, Kvod Hayom Adif. You have a choice, Kvod Hayom Adif. So maybe a Friday night you wear a darker tie, Shabbos morning you wear a lighter tie. Very nice. But other than that, dress to mincha on Shabbos, like you do in the morning for sure. Yes, in shul in the morning, everyone's still excited about Shabbos. By the afternoon, everybody knows Sunday is looming into us, and already Shabbos is light on us. But I absolutely, halakhically, don't understand how people, Friday night, come with a suit and tie, and Shabbos afternoon for mincha with shorts and a t-shirt. If suit and tie is the dress code for Shabbos, then it should be the dress code for Shabbos and Shabbos mincha. And if a short and t-shirt is good, then wear it Friday night. Now, if the weather changed, I can understand. But the bottom line is, if that's what your dress code is for Shabbat, there should be absolutely, unequivocally no difference. And what bothers me is we make fun of the Hasidim that wear a strimal, all Shabbat. We make fun of the Levakim that wear whatever they wear. What we are doing, if we're going to change our dress code on Shabbat, is logically incorrect. It's logically correct. Logically and common sense-wise, I can understand. Like any other time, you go into a place for the first time, you dress nicely. Once you're comfortable, you get comfortable. But that's not the way it should be on Shabbat. Before you get your question, I'd just like to illustrate my point. As you know, there are certain places in America that are very hot and humid. So a gentleman came to shul Shabbos morning, wore a suit and a jacket, and it was very hot. So what he did after shul was he left the suit and jacket in the shul, and he walked home with just a shirt and pants. He came to the shir in the afternoon. So as soon as he got into shul, he put on the suit and his jacket again. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was still alive, looked at him and said, what are you doing? He said, well, it was hot outside, but inside it's air conditioned. So, he goes, I don't understand. It's Shabbos inside, it's not Shabbos outside. If you have to wear a suit and jacket, then wear it outside and inside. And if you don't have to wear it, don't wear it. But Shabbos Friday night is as big and as strong as Shabbos Mincha and Shabbos Maariv. Until Shabbos is out, you don't take off your clothing for Shabbos. Now, if you want to violate, if you don't want to fulfill the commandment of wearing nice clothing on Shabbos, because then say, hey, don't wear it. Say, I'm not fulfilling the commandment. But it's absolutely halakhically incorrect to honor Shabbos with nice clothes and Shabbos morning, but the minute the chulent is in your body, all of a sudden Shabbos diminishes. Shabbos, if you violate Shabbos Friday night, you are as big a sinner as you are if you violate Shabbos in the last hour of Shabbos. And therefore, when people dress nicely for Shabbos, that's the way it should be. What? Naveira means it's an ister not to dress nicely on Shabbos. It's a commandment, it's a mitzvah to wear nice clothing on Shabbos. If you don't, you didn't fulfill this commandment. But most Jews do fulfill the commandment Friday night, Shabbos morning. Then at the Shabbos afternoon already, it goes down. You have to dress Shabbos dick from the time the Shabbos begins to the time the Shabbos ends. I can accept that inside your house, perhaps the Shabbos dick is different from the outside. What I can't accept is that there's a difference between mincha on Shabbos afternoon versus Friday night. Yes, Bruce, let's hear your question.
When I asked, because I'm thinking about the Virgin question, was it also, I was surprised to see it. So they said that, they're taking a nap, and they wake up.
Okay, what are you going to do?
So they jumped into the closure and had the shiur.
There's nothing you can say that. That's
so
fine.
That was the rationale.
It's a shas a
kach. The Rosh Hashanah would not have done it.
He just
put it in the other clothing. Yeah, so he didn't grab, like, a shmata shorts. It was, nice pair of shorts and a nice t-shirt.
That's why we don't judge people. What's beautiful about our Judaism is we believe there's a judge to the world, and the judge of the world will judge people. What we do is inspire people to do mitzvahs. That's our job in the life. We don't judge people. Are they bad? Are they good? Very interesting. The Gemara says what we say on Rosh Chodesh in the Barchi Nafshi. At the end of Barchi Nafshi, we say, Yitamu chata'im min ha'aretz. May all the aveiros, may all the sins just cease to exist on the land. Yitamu chata'im min ha'aretz. Chazal darshan, and that beautiful few words, yitamu chataim velo chotim. That the chataim, the averas, should cease to exist, but not the people doing the averas. Now, that's very, very, very crucial and important. A person comes with shorts and a t-shirt, you don't judge him if he's a bad nabbit or not shomer shabbos. What you do is inspire him to do mitzvah. You devote a shir to wearing nice clothing on Shabbos, like we're doing now. You ultimately speak to him, but you do never judge a person. That's God's job. And believe me, I don't envy God on that one. There's so many variables you don't know about. Like in this case, he just jumped up from the nap and whatnot. How dare we judge a person? We don't know it all.
The issue of the coat, though, if it's really stretching way out there.
Again, that's fine. You can have a summer wardrobe for Shabbos and a winter wardrobe for Shabbos. That's also legitimate. I have no problem with that. No, but he felt that in shul, he has to wear a suit and tie because that's the Shabbos thing. But outside, he can downdress.
Maybe it's chilly. The air conditioning is very high.
That wasn't the reason he said. That wasn't the reason he said. He said, in honor of shul, I put on a suit and jacket, but for Shabbos, I don't. So he says, what do you mean, in honor of shul? Yes. No. If it's Shabbos, if that's your Shabbos clothing, wear it all the time.
In shul, he doesn't want to shul.
You don't have to wear a jacket.
You're mixing apples and oranges. Let me explain. You're mixing apples and oranges, and I'll explain. Talking in shul is an avera when you're in shul. When you're outside of shul, you can talk as long as it's not lashon hara. Correct. Wearing nice clothes and other of Shabbos begins at the beginning of Shabbos and ends at the end of Shabbos. You can't walk out of it for a few minutes.
Yeah, but the coach isn't there.
Again, if your Shabbos dress is no suit and tie, I am fine with it. That's how we began this year. But whatever it is, it should be consistent.
Take off your jacket when you're walking.
Yeah,
you
change your whole
shop. Right. Okay, that's also, I agree. I agree, but I think you all, I agree with you. Alex, I agree with you, but I think you'll agree with me, on the other hand, that actually wearing shorts and a t-shirt when Friday night you wore long pants and a button-down shirt is not just taking off your jacket.
No, you're talking about the guy.
And Myra's already.
Yeah, but the jacket and tie in shul itself, that he didn't wear it on the way to shul. That's not the same scenario.
I think it is the same scenario. I think that if it's on Shabbos, you should wear a suit and tie, then a suit and tie should be worn throughout Shabbos.
Throughout Shabbos? I have not worn a jacket.
Okay, so now you're bringing up a much better point, and that's what I wanted to say. There is another reason to wear nice clothing, and that is, of course, in honor of standing before God and davening. And there you could say, for Shabbos I wear, I don't know, a nice white shirt and long pants. That's my Shabbos scarf. Right, during the week I wear a blue shirt. Shabbos I wear a white shirt. Then there's an additional halacha that I have to wear nice. I have to dress nicely for God, as you do before a king. The Gemara Darshan Sefatso Kiko Mikad Malachecha Yisrael. You should get ready to face the King of Israel. So the King of Israel is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're coming before God, you have to dress to befit a king. So, in addition to your Shabbos clothes, you're going to put on a suit and tie for davening. And then davening's over, you take off the suit and tie. If that was the reason of this gentleman, then I can understand. Right. My Shabbos clothes is this and this. And then, I have an additional wardrobe for davening itself. And I can understand. That's
very most. In fact, that all davening, any davening in the week, there are people who make sure to wear a jacket.
Yeah. That's, again, that's a different, so that's like a different
that's he may not have had it on before that, but he would put it on for that reason. So do you really have to wear it on the way to shul? You're still wearing your
pants
and shirt.
Again, the gentleman said it's my Shabbos clothes, but outside I'm down-dressing. He didn't say, well, this is only for davening. Again, if it was only for davening, he would have put it on before davening. In this story, he put it on before the shir.
That's why you didn't wear the jacket.
So if it's hot, even inside you can wear, he didn't say, I'm chilly inside, I'm putting on a coat. He said, L'chatchila, I should wear a suit and tie on Shabbos, but it's hot outside, so I'm taking it off. So if it's hot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided it was hot, so you're going to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's hot, I'm not wearing a suit and tie this Shabbos.
It's legitimate.
If it's hot
initially, he still wears a jacket, then he's really doing it for
So therefore, I think here the Hasidim have something over us, and that is that you'll never see a chassid on Shabbos, it can be hot, it can be cold. You'll never see them take off their strangling chapotah and just walk around when it comes to Mayrit. Because Shabbos is light. They have
even
a consistent dress code, and that's the way it should be. What?
Even when napping, maybe.
Now, you could say they're absolute. You could say that they're totally and utterly illogical people to wear strangles and chapotahs in Israel when it's hot. Yes. But I have to respect the fact that in terms of Hilchot Shabbos, and dressing for Shabbos, they're consistent. Now, this is something that I think we have to, and this is what I wanted to end with. This is something that I believe our tzibur, the community in which we function, has to start doing on a more comprehensive level. I said many times that keeping halacha is based on perspective. We have to know what's in a halacha deraisa, what's a derabanan, what's a minhag, what's a gzeira, what's a milacha. These things are very important, not just intellectually, but rather they're important for us on a practical level. I'll give you one example. You're a doctor. And you're a doctor, you're never on vacation. Everyone bothers you. And if you're living in a community and you're not on call, whatever, but Friday night someone's sick, you're going to get a knock on the door. Doctors know that. Doctors know that, and that's the way they live.
You have to put a sign on the door. Do not knock if you're sick.
Ultimately, it goes against the famous oath. What's the name of the oath? They've got to go. And it's, it's a very important oath. Anyway. We won't comment on the medical profession around the world and how insurance has changed it. Anyway, a gentleman comes, have a bad headache. Another person comes, chest pain. A third person comes, he's sick in bed with a fever. These are three scenarios. The fever, the headache, chest pain. Chest pain seems like a suffix akana. You violate all of Shabbos for it. What do you do for the guy who has a fever? You're a doctor. You're not a Talmud Chacham. You're not a rabbi. You're a doctor, a simple doctor. You're a religious Shomer Shabbos doctor. What are you allowed to do for a guy with a fever? So let's say a guy has a fever. He has a strep throat of some sort. Nope. The halacha is he's what's considered a chole she'ein bo sakana, which is defined halachically as a gentleman who can't function normally. He can't go to shul. He has to stay in bed. Right? There's no sakana to his life, but he has to stay in bed. Doctor, you're not giving him the remedies of your grandmother at chicken soup. You're a doctor. You're allowed to do for a chole she'ein bo sakana. You're not allowed to violate the orisas. You're not allowed to violate the rabbanon. You're allowed to violate what's called gzeiros the rabbanon, not molochos the rabbanon, but gzeiros the rabbanon. A gzeiro the rabbanon, just for an example, is to administer medication on Shabbos. Giving medication. You're allowed to give medication to someone that's in bed. The guy has a headache on the other hand, that's called a mechush be'alma. A mechush be'alma, you're not allowed to violate any gzeiros the rabbanon. Now, you're a simple doctor, but you have to know al buriyam what a malacha is, el raisa, what a malacha the rabbanon is, and what a gzeira is. It's practical for your life every week. We have to have our heads screwed on straight in order to know proper priorities. Halachic thinking is not always common sense thinking. One of the disadvantages of the Shulchan Aruch is that everything is do's and don'ts. You don't see there what's the oraisa and what's the rabbanon. In the Rambam, for example, you'll see that the Rambam really delineates what's the oraisa and what's the rabbanon and what's the gezeira. In Shulchan Aruch, it's do's and don'ts, so you think everything is equal. Jews have to know, have their heads screwed on straight, and know what is considered a deraisa, what is considered a derabbanan, and what is considered a minhag, and what is considered a gezeira, because sometimes it's very practical for your life. And I think in our particular community, sometimes when it comes to learning Torah, we just want to know, what do I got to do? Now, don't get me, what do I got to do? Well, part of being a Torah Jew is not just what I got to do, but also it is, well, what is it? Is it a fulfillment of a deraisa, the fulfillment of the rabbanan? Because when the case comes and the life is not mathematically perfect, like the doctor, what do you do? What do you do? And let me just end with the following statement, which I think is very important in this regard. On Shabbos, we add something to the benching. What's it called? Ritzei. At the end of Ritzei, we talk about Shabbos, and it's a Yom Menucha, and it's beautiful and gorgeous. We say something very strange. You ever notice? Shelo tehe tzara v'yagon v'anacha b'yom menuchateinu. We should have no tzaras on this Shabbos. What is that? What happened? All of a sudden we think there's going to be tzaras in Shabbos? We shut up the computer, we shut up the email, we shut up everything. Shouldn't be any tzaras. As long as the food is made, the Shabbos clock works, everything is great.
For some people that's the tzaras.
Okay. So Rav Soloveitchik once explained beautifully, the tzara is, if God forbid, someone's sick, and you don't know, do I have to violate Shabbos or don't I? It's a very big decision. That's the tzara that you're always worried about. Now, it's very interesting to me, we just had a baby recently. It was right around Pesach. So people said, oh, you're going to have a two-day yontif, you're going to have a this, what are you going to do? And I said, Baruch Hashem, this is why I'm happy I learned for a few years. Because when those situations happen, you learned about it so many times that you have to put it into practice, you don't have the tzarah v'yagon. Now again, even when you learn, there are doctors that have for 50 years been doctors and they don't know what's considered a sakana and what's not. I'm not saying the yagon v'anacha just goes away. But at least with regard to childbirth, which is a more normal occurrence, it's pretty clear. So, first of all, develop our halachic common sense, not the regular common sense, but halachic logical thinking. And thus, a person would not downdress at Mincha on Shabbos because Shabbos is already light and going away and it's okay. And the only way to do that, and this is my second comment, is to start going through what makes up our life and saying what's a deraisa and what's a derabbanan and what's a minhag and what's important and what's not so important, what do you give up and what don't you give up. These things are crucial and critical for life, regular life, and you never know what might happen. You never know what might happen. And therefore I believe it's extremely vital for us to start developing our halachic common sense. So a person doesn't come up to you towards Ma'ariv and Shabbos and say, why are you so dressed in a suit and tie? Akan.